So today, I want to talk about reading, but of a different variety.
As I've stated before in this podcast, I can't read.
That's right.
But comics, on the other hand, are a different story because they got pictures.
That's true. Ooh.
You know, there are some comics out there, John, that actually don't have any words.
Ooh.
Gasp.
But no, do you have any fun comics that you've read? Any ones that sort of stick out in your mind? Because I got two that I really like. One of them is Star Wars: The Old Republic, which follows follows a Padawan that gets wrapped up with like corruption in the Jedi Council and all this kind of stuff.
What? Corruption in the Jedi Council?
It's really cool, okay, because they actually it actually takes place around the Darth Malak and Darth Revan era. And if you know anything about Darth Revan, I'll tell you that they actually cover his face so you don't see it.
Huh.
Anyone who knows anything about KOTOR and the Knights of the Old Republic, you'll know why.
You mean the best BioWare game ever made?
The best BioWare game ever made, yeah. And I'll also talk about the comic book Pride of Baghdad. So our local comic book shop here in Annapolis, Third Eye Comics, we've mentioned that before. They had a comic there that the owner there, Steve, he was just like, "Hey man, listen, if you're looking for a good comic, you're looking for something that'll like make you cry, I totally suggest this." And I was like, "All right, well, what is it?" He was like, "It's Pride of Baghdad. It's about it's about a zoo that during all the combat and war and bombs and stuff that happened in Baghdad, lions get out and they're just roaming around war-torn Baghdad, and it personifies them, and there's so much character development, and it's like beautifully drawn. It's just a very, very good story, but it is a tearjerker. I remember I was working, it was a very, 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 very slow weekend at the bank where I worked, and I was reading, and I just, at the end of it, just put it down and just cried.
Mm.
It's so emotional. Awesome book. Excellent comic book.
Nice.
I have a similar experience also from Third Eye. The guy was like, I was getting the Killing Joke, Batman comic, because I just wanted to give it a try. And the guy at the desk was like, "You like Alan Moore?" I was like, I'll dabble with anything. He's like, "Okay, you need to listen to get these books." And he handed me three books. And it was the Alan Moore run of The Swamp Thing.
Mm.
Oh, man.
That's a good one, yeah.
To this day, I have never read something that seemed so ridiculous and campy, at the same time absolutely terrifying, and just, it made you want to cry. Like, there was this one point where Swamp Thing goes to hell, and he finds his wife's soul, but he also has his mortal skeleton from when he was a man. And it's like, at one point all these devils attack him, and he has to decide whether to bring back his wife's soul or leave the rest of his humanity in the hells. It was like this weird, just emotional roller coaster.
God, I love that stuff.
Man, I had no idea that was a recommendation from Third Eye, John. You would talk about Swamp Thing all the time.
Yeah.
My wife got me a gift that I will never be able to outdo her on. She got me a signed Swamp Thing poster of art that was done for the Alan Moore run. It's not a poster you can just go to get on Amazon and buy.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous poster.
Mm.
Let's see. Like, this started actually, it was like one of my friends from high school, I remember. He was reading this back in the day, but it was the Sandman comics. And by Neil Gaiman.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, and so I strictly waited for the anthologies to come out because I hate getting, like, little small books. I prefer just, you know, a giant tome.
The omnibus is the way to go most times.
Oh, yeah. So I have them all at this point, at least from the original set. So it's, like, they're giant books. But the Sandman kind of takes place, if you've never heard of it or read it, it follows Morpheus, or Dream, like, of the Endless. And the Endless are, like, the seven factors of life, I guess, like, just to simplify it. Like, you have death, dream, desire. Like, it just kind of, like, that. It's personifications of each one. And so you follow Dream, most of it. But it also deals with his adventures through different areas. Like, he goes into hell, like, in certain spots to deal with Lucifer, and talks with, like, Lucifer and stuff like that. He deals with like the gods of mythology and stuff like that, due to like in the Neil Gaiman universes, most of the time gods are enhanced by worship, so it's kind of like in dreams and stuff like that. Yeah. Like people, like the gods gain more power that way, so they kind of live in his element.
Hmm.
Nice.
But it's cool. Kind of like you follow him and through the whole thing of him being kind of an asshole, because he is kind of an asshole in the beginning, because he's like a very powerful being.
Right.
And but it's him kind of learning to be a little bit better about things,
mm-hmm.
because he's very strict to the point, and then he's kind of like, oh, okay, maybe everyone's telling me, like my siblings are telling me to chill out, like Death is like his sister, older sister, because Death come first, you know.
Fair.
And I mean, like, it's, yeah, so, and she's just like, you gotta chill out. Like,
that's cool.
You're too gloomy.
I'll have to, if you still have that, I'd actually like to read that. That one sounds cool.
Yeah, I got a bunch of them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. My favorite is the comic book anthology series, The Before, The After, and The In-Between. It was a limited print series that was started by some artists on Tumblr, really dating myself back in my Tumblr days. And one of my favorite artists, still favorite artist to this day, Omocat, who is now the creator of the hit game Amori. So they were present in the comic book anthology, and it was based around the 2012 the world is ending panic that happened for like 2 seconds. Yeah. So that's what it was based on. Before the world's end, after the world's end, and then during the world's end. So what kind of things would happen? And because it's all different artists, like completely different perspectives, it blows my mind. Like the only place you can find copies are like on eBay now. Or I guess if you want to hit me up and sign a blood pack that you'll return it to me, I will lend it to you.
I did that for Jake with Swamp Thing, and then he didn't read it.
You're totally right, and I kind of regret it because I hear a lot of people talk about it.
Well, whenever you want to.
I think I might read the thing Mark's going to give me, just to be petty.
Hey, I never said I was going to give it to you.
Oh, dang it.
I know. No, I am protective of these books because they were like $50 a piece.
No, so. That's fair.
Yeah, big comic books are not cheap.
No, mm-hmm. They're not.
I have not done a lot of comic books. I feel like I did get into a series like several years ago, and it's just escaping me, so I don't get to join a comic book nerd talk, but I do want to get my son into them. I did get him the first couple Avatar comics that take place on the show.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
And they're fantastic, and I would love to get more of them.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there is one comic that I read a while ago that I really loved, and I just can't remember it at all.
I mean, one I couldn't recommend for Brock to start out on, Berserk, maybe keep him away from that.
Oh, God.
I mean,
what's the eclipse?
Oh, no. No. Dad, I want a massive sword. Yes, son.
Okay.
Don't even sharpen it. Make it a big hunk of iron.
I want a wrist shotgun. Guts.
Well, speaking of guts, I feel like somebody's guts are going to be spilled today.
Hmm.
And I'm hoping it's Benson's.
That's unkind.
Good luck.
Well, here's the thing. So we ended last episode with one eye rearing up in order to try and shove Benson off of the top of the Nine Shield Smokehouse. So let's get right into it, because I am dying to see if he can do this.
Dying.
Benson's very used to fighting things that are stronger than him, so.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, both you guys are just, like, brick houses. Just slamming against each other.
They're all throw their weapons down and just start punching each other.
like a scene from Baki.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the thing. He is enfeebled too, which is adding to your chances of not getting shoved.
He's also frightened.
I think frightened went away, actually.
Yes, you were right.
Okay. But, so you are 5 feet away from the corner. which is why he's positioned where he is, because he has you 5 feet away from the edge, which means that he it's the perfect spot for him. So he's strategic about what he's doing here. So, athletics check to shove you. Enfeebled 2, so this will be a minus 2 to this. That is still going to be a 37.
God damn.
That'll shove.
All right. So go ahead and grab the edge.
Oh, is that a crit? Or is that a...
No,
I wouldn't think it's a crit.
Yeah, but wouldn't he just go 5 feet?
Yes, but if you see there's a corner to the southwest.
Oh,
southwest
he's going that way.
Oh, yeah.
What is the check for the grab?
Reflex.
It's grab an edge, so it is going to be a... grab the edge or handhold. You can. It's gonna be the climb. It's a reflex save. Sorry, at the usual climb DC. Well,
so, 15 on the die for a 28.
For a 28. All right, that is a success.
It's only if he has a hand free. If he does not have a hand free, he can only grab it if it's a crit success.
Oh, so that is not so because you have your sword and shield out.
So this guy just pushes me off the thing?
Yep.
Yep.
Maybe.
Oh, he might land and kill one of the other guys, though.
I mean, same.
So Benson goes down from the rooftop. Rooftop.
He didn't even do any damage to me.
No, but the fall will do enough damage. Also, he's very particular about what he's doing here. Okay, so it was 20 feet up, so that would be... Is that 15 points of damage, Tim? Is that what we figured out?
I don't remember, but okay. That sounds about right. Ignore the first 5, take the rest.
Right. Okay.
I don't get a reflex save to avoid the damage?
No, that's not how it works.
Nope. Unfortunately, gravity's gravity.
He takes bludgeoning damage equal to half the distance he fell, so 10.
Oh, 10. 10, okay. Okay.
Oh no.
But you are
still triple digits.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just that he's now prone on the ground, next to a sneak, by the way. So yeah.
Yep.
Alright, so one eye is going to so that was a shove. Was that his first action?
I don't remember.
No, I think it was.
Did he have to pick up his club?
He had to pick up his
club.
Right.
Or did he do that at the end of his last turn? I can't remember.
No, because he picked it up and swung, dropped it, and picked it up again. So that was the first action on this turn. Yeah. Friends and family, if we're wrong, write in, and we won't wreck on it.
write in, and I won't read it.
I'll read it. I'll just be like, whoops.
Put it in comic form.
I'll read it then. Don't worry. All right. So he's gonna drop his mace or his club, draw out or pick up the bow, and then take a shot at Elko behind him. He's gonna swap back and forth between these for until you go away. This is all he's gonna do.
Okay, I'm gonna be a nuisance then.
Oh, that's fine.
Archer fight.
A whiff. That was a 2 on the die for an 18, so...
Wow.
You better stick to the club.
Come over here and you can taste it.
No.
Just yelling across the street. No.
Just from the rooftop.
No. Not an idiot.
Elko, it is your turn.
Okay, he's just gonna shoot him.
Yeah.
Try like a sweet 360 no scope.
God no. 34 to hit.
That'll be a hit.
I'm pretty sure it's house rules though. If you hit a 360 no scope, it's an automatic triple crit.
Can I include an acrobatics check with that? Let's see here. That is 26 points of damage.
Oh man.
Ow.
You know, you gotta shoot like that.
Just the banter.
That's how you shoot an arrow.
Yeah, and he's going to shoot again with minus... Oh, 18 on die, though.
Ooh.
So that's a 32 to hit.
32, that's a hit.
Oh my gosh.
Beautiful. Dude, like... Let's see.
It's very clear what One Eye's forte is, and it's not the bow he has.
Yeah.
You know... I think that's, just because you have one, your depth perception is a bit
it really sucks, yeah.
This was all part of Benson's plan.
I know, he's just like, because now he has to drop it, pick up it. Yeah, God. 20 points of damage.
20 points of damage. Wow. God, this is...
He's laying into him. He's gonna die from Elkwood.
He might.
I would be perfectly fine with that.
And as a free action, he just kind of does the "well, what is it" from Dark Souls.
Oh, yeah. He's just... the arms out.
What is it?
Man,
Come over here.
I remember doing that to so many people and just getting reported every single time.
You ever get a little bastard? Get out of here.
Elkwood fucking takes one shot, does a kickflip on the roof, and then takes the other shot.
Kickflip with the tech board of wish.
If you get this on TikTok, it'll go viral, don't worry.
All right. Sir Benson Black, it is your turn. You are prone on the ground.
Okay, well, I guess I'll stand up. There's a sneak right next to me.
There is... I don't think that they have... there's no attack of opportunity on these guys, actually.
Good.
Yep.
Okay. I will swing
really
at
wants
this...
to, trust me.
Oh, no, no doubt. Swing at this guy in front of me. 19 on the fucking die. Let's go.
Oh, you fucking murdered him.
Let me see. That's a 37.
Oh my gosh.
Critical hit.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Oh.
He falls, gets up.
Oh,
and
man.
Are you
serious?
Do you stand up with your bastard sword and cleave his penis? Like, what do you do? Jesus.
Right. I mean, I'm never rolling critical damage in this fucking website again. I hate this bullshit so much. It's 20 points of damage.
Oh, man.
Fuck you.
Hey, that's a normal hit.
2d8 plus 6 times 2.
That's bad.
Really? Yeah.
Are you sure that was critical?
No, that is. I'm looking at it. It was a one and a three on the die.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I'm never rolling crit damage in this fucking site again.
That's fine.
I love you, Foundry, but you fucked me when I'm on the crits.
I don't like your RNG.
RNG, really? Question mark?
Right.
Maybe in the code there's a little fuck John line.
Where's okay. RNG, Jesus? What do you do?
Everybody, use Foundry. For everything but this. Alright, last attack. Probably going to be a miss for 24.
24 against the... That is just a hit, actually.
Let's see this
damage roll do more damage than that. 14! 14 points of damage in the regular shot!
John, I'll tell you that the reason why that actually hit was because he's frightened from you earlier.
Oh.
Good, I'm still covered in blood. and it's not mine.
Doesn't matter that you fell comically. He's still a little shaken from you.
I fell heroically.
You're right, I'm sorry. All right, now it comes to Helgi's turn. So Helgi is in an interesting spot. She doesn't get her pack attack off. She doesn't get any kind of this stuff. Grimshaw, are you on the stairs or are you under the stairs?
I am under.
You're under the stairs. Okay. Because
I think Helgi was the one who manacled me.
True, yeah. But she's not going to get her pack attack off, so what she's going to do is she is going to... She realizes you're a little hindered. Is she going to just swing on you? Alright, she's going to call out to One Eye, and she's going to be like, One Eye! We need you down here. They're killing us.
That's a lie.
No, they're winning. And she is going to... she's doing all right. All right, so she's going to... Ooh. Kestra's kind of out in the open.
What? No, not.
And he's looking a little... And he's still... You're not...
No, I am. I'm
just... Oh, okay. I was like, are you invisible? What's going on?
No, I'm hiding in the land of make believe.
Don't pay attention to the lightning bolts that have been hitting you the past 2 turns.
So I think that was the other thought too, was the fact that like she's been getting wrecked from these lightning bolts. So she's gonna take a stride up to you.
Oh, perfect.
And then she's going to reach out and try to strike you with the flail. It's gonna be a 34 to hit.
That's a hit.
Okay, not crit.
19 points of bludgeoning damage.
19 points of damage.
And then she is going to strike out again. 20 total to hit.
That's a miss.
Okay, that's a miss. All right, I figured as much. It was a bad roll. And then the Scarlet Triad sneak. So this is the one that Benson just fucking cleaved really hard.
So fucking hard.
So hard. Yeah, but he's also looking really fucked up now. So. In which case he's gonna be like, I'm gonna go to where Helgi's going. In that voice exactly. So he's gonna go here.
You cowardly slut.
Then he's gonna might as well take another stride back here.
Oh man.
Gonna go up and try to not flanking, but he's sort of like kinda cutting Kezra off. And then he's going to take one strikeout with the rapier.
Damn, though. Why Kezra?
Because they realize they can't do shit against either me or Tim.
Yep, yeah.
25 to hit?
Miss.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wait, is that because of your dragon blood?
No.
Or is actually. That normal AC? Oh, wow.
Okay. It's my normal AC right now because I drank a potion before the fight.
Or that's what it was. Okay. All right, first round of the fight.
Oh, you're abusing performance enhancing drugs.
Oh, I am. Kesra's doing steroids.
Kesra's like, damn right I am.
I'm yeah, winning. What are you talking about?
I'm drinking synthetic dragon blood.
It's like the real thing.
I don't know if I said it, but the potion is the Drakehart mutagen.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember.
All right, it is your turn. Kezra.
Okay. Kezra's in a little bit of a pickle.
Wouldn't happen to have a blazing dive up your pocket, would you?
Technically yes, but I don't think this is the best time or place to use it.
No, go up and then come right down on one eye and kill him instantly.
I don't think he is the... Wait, how far do you go up?
Is that the 15 or 20?
Oh,
is that the 15 or 20 feet? I'm technically on the stairs.
Ooh,
that's true. I feel like you could, but
you fly 15 feet straight up.
Okay, so not quite. The angle would be a little weird, that's for sure. But
so you would just have to go up the stairs another 5 or 10 feet,
right, and then use it, but.
This is a clearly big brain strat, I'm just saying.
Well, here's the thing.
The only reason
I'm considering it is because the only high-level spell I have over level 1 is a level 5 spell. So I'd have to cast it double heightened, which is good.
Oh. I mean, yeah.
It's a lot of damage.
It's a lot of damage, and I'm banking on one eye having bad reflexes. This is his worst one.
I think I put my money on intelligence.
I'm gonna try.
Because you only has one eye.
Yeah, no. I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try.
You're actually doing this?
I'm gonna do it. I was already considering it, but now I'm surrounded, and it makes more sense.
All right.
So I will step higher up the stairs.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
And I will cast Blazing Dive, and let's see. It's a 10-foot emanation. So. I'm gonna land.
Okay, so
right on the other side of the pillar.
So I fly up, and then I
zoom past his face, and then I land 10 feet away from him in an explosion of fire and chunks of the tower, and roll a reflex save.
So, you were correct. His reflex is his worst one. Does that mean it's bad? No. But it is his worst one. So let's say
19 or something.
It's like when a new player asks you, it's like, what's the dragon's worst stat? It's like, they're all good. Don't worry about
it. Hell, this was the best move you could have ever made because I was a natural one on one eye.
Oh my god. Actually, going to explode him on top.
That's actually awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man, so.
Let's go, baby, let's go. big plays from Kezra.
Yeah. Damage.
Only play Kezra knows how to make.
Okay, so I rolled a 28, so double that is 56.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
56 damage of fire and rubble.
Holy shit. Okay, I would like you to please describe your kill.
Let's go. Kezra.
So literally this fiery shockwave goes off as he's like staring down Elk with his bow. And Kezra just flies by him, explodes into the top of this building, and like the fire and rubble just blow him off the building over Benson's head.
And that's when Benson thinks, I knew Kezra was giving him the business.
Oh yeah, I gave him the business. Right in this one eye.
That was the business.
God dang.
Code word.
Jesus. Okay.
That was my last high level spell.
Damn.
You know what? Just collapse on the tower on top and pretend like you're dead for a little bit.
Right. And you know what's funny is if you used it, if you didn't heighten it, it wouldn't have had that kind of damage. But because you had to heighten it, you had it at that level, yep, that's what did it. Gosh, that's you can't write this.
Amazing.
You can't write this stuff. Mm-mm. Just amazing.
Almost kills you, and you come back just to say "fuck you."
Oh yeah.
Okay. After Kezra kills One Eye, it comes to Grimshaw at the end, at the back of the round.
Grimshaw is going to take a 5-foot step to get within striking distance of Helgi. And, you know, as he's stepping up, like, One Eye is careening off of this tower, hitting the ground. And you see Grimshaw just ever so slightly looks like he's kind of, like, flitting out of existence for just a second as he faints Helgi. Oh, I hate this. I hate everything about this.
What'd you do?
So it's a natural one on the faint.
Oh.
So that means I am flat-footed to them.
Oh my god.
So I don't flit out of existence. I'm just like, Helgi will never see this coming, as I say out loud.
The most choreographed attack in the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
His wind-up animation's like 30 seconds.
And then I just...
blue?
I just strike as normal.
All right.
Hey, okay, I'm glad. I mean, you know, if I had to get a nat one, it best on the feint, because I got a 36 on the strike.
Ooh, nice. That'd be a critical hit on Helgi.
Oh, man.
Let's go.
Oh, that means I'm going to get my super sneaky damage. The death-drinking weapon emanates this negative necrotic energy in addition to... So 20, man, I rolled really bad. Is this really all it is? 11, 22.
You haven't wanted to talk to me about that?
23 points of damage on a crit. I rolled a 1, a 2, and a 3.
Ugh.
Welcome to the fucking family. We got a great house on Fuck You Boulevard, and guess what? The roof leaks.
All right. Did you make the DC 5?
Oh, right. Yep. I did not even attempt it. And I made it.
You made it. Okay, good.
14 on the die.
There we go. And you have one more action?
Step, feint, strike. Step, that is three step, actions.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Grimshaw, I'll say this. At the end of your turn, after Kezra had done that and like hit the top of the building and you heard it shake, you also heard what sounded like people inside the building,
oh,
who, as the roof shook and like and the explosion from up top, you heard them like, ah! You think that the prisoners are inside the smokehouse?
Oh my gosh! Or is there like a door nearby?
It was boarded up.
there's a door on the east side. But yeah, everything was boarded up though. So
okay. So. On the east side. All right. Yeah, so I'm on the south side right now. So the east side is over by where that sneak is.
Correct. Yeah.
So. Okay. Okay.
All right. Benson, so hearing the whimpering says they better not be eating my cured meats. My home base protection does not extend to prosciutto.
Just some type of salted pork.
I could go for some prosciutto right now.
Oh yeah, tame.
Elkwood, your turn.
Okay. So seeing Kezra, like, it was just kind of like one of those things of you see one eye like shooting at him and stuff like that, and he sees Kezra just zoom up, and it was just kind of like that small wave, kind of like the bye. Nice knowing you. As Kezra just fucking destroys him. And so after that, he's just like, well, that job's done. He's going to jump off the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And head this way.
All right, so you're heading to the east side of the Nightshield Smokehouse.
So with one action, I feel like I should make it here at least.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, it's a leap, and yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I should be able to actually make it here. So, with one action. So, he turns, sees the sneak here. He's just like, oh, there's more of you.
All right.
Wonderful. Hunt prey.
Okay.
And he's just going to take a simple shot.
All right. He is still frightened one, so AC's a little bit lower.
25 to hit.
25, that is a hit.
That's a low roll, but god damn
it.
Let's
be honest, Elkwood never makes a simple shot. I think all of his shots are worth smart.
Every arrow of his curves.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. And 24 damage. No, 16, sorry. 16 damage.
16 points of damage, okay. Barely up.
Yeah, god. There was a lot of ones in that. It was a 1, 1, 1, 5, and 5.
Oh my god.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's like, ouch, that hurt.
Yeah. Benson, it is your turn.
Okay. Seeing Grimshaw make a feint that would be maybe acceptable on Broadway, I'm going to move here so he gets bonus to his AC.
Yay!
Okay. All right. So you guys are buddying up again side by side.
Yep. And I'm going to strike out at this lovely slaver dwarf.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say.
First time in her life she's ever been called lovely.
Oh.
Well, she's not going to get another chance after about 30 seconds, so.
This is a hit, my friend.
You think I'm beautiful.
Okay. 18 points of damage. Wow, regular shot! 2 points off from a big crit! Alright, I'm going to stop bitching about this. It was not funny anymore.
Alright.
And second swing. Oh, God. Jesus Christ. 17 on the die for 30 flat.
Wow.
30 flat, that is a regular hit.
Regular hit. 13 points of damage.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
See, I just need to be like John and just roll well, and things will go better for me.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, I know, right? Dude, this right. Purple die and my copper die have just been rolling rocks the past couple of sessions.
Okay. So the Helgi is going to... She's going to delay her turn and tell the sneak to get around behind Benson.
Does the sneak really want any of the smoke, Benson?
I was about to say, the sneak's like, oh.
Yeah, boss. I'll
get right to that in the next 6 to 10 seconds. I'm sure you'll still be alive.
Goes around, and so he is going to do his two attacks on you. You are technically flat-footed because you were not
flat. He doesn't
want
to attack Grimshaw?
No.
God damn it. Bullshit.
It is going to be natural 20.
God, all right. Now I'll do one.
It's piercing, right?
Yes, this is the rapier, so.
All right. Pierced elbow. The target drops one item it's holding, determined randomly by the GM.
Oh, geez. Okay. Pierced elbow. That fucking sucks. All right. John, roll a percentile, and 51 and up is your blade, and then lower end is your shield.
Okay. Drop my sword.
Drop your sword.
I was gonna say, if Jake just says I drop my sword instead of my shield, I'm gonna fucking lose my mind. Kick him out. All right,
so let's do some damage here, because holy crap. So mind you, this is gonna be sneak attack. It's also gonna be the Bloodseeker beak and all that stuff. So get ready for some, get ready for a good bit of damage here. So that is gonna be 21 plus 728. And then plus another 1d4. Hold on. Crits with these guys are brutal. Alright, so 20 is 31. Alright, so you take 31 points of piercing damage.
Alright.
Actually, you only take 20 points of piercing damage as the Grace of Milani liberates your movement. Benson, back to me. Let's form up a wall.
And I beckon you to step to the northwest so that you are not no longer being flanked and you no longer get a second strike against you.
And that makes it also only 17 points of damage.
Oh, because of your...
Oh, because of your resistance.
Yeah. Yep. Resistance is low-key overpowered as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Crit who?
Alright, so you kind of moved on the stairs.
No, it's underneath.
Underneath,
oh,
right?
Oh, you made him move underneath. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, so there's a bit of a... It's very funny fighting around stairs.
Yeah, it is.
I could have made my life as a GM so much easier by saying it was just boards.
Yeah, if they're bored, just pour it up.
Could have, you know, in retrospect, I could have just made it way easier on all of us. Okay, so you moved him, you take all that. Oh, you also take some bleed damage there, John.
Okay.
From Blitzy Beak. 3 points of persistent bleed damage.
I'm looking really rough. That's a lie.
I was about to say, like...
I don't think you are.
I think you're barely taking 80 hits.
It's like, call an ambulance.
Grimshaw, you see this tiny portion of blood next to my shoulder? That's the only blood on my entire body that's actually mine. And I'm fucking covered in that shit.
All right, so in which case, that was one action on hit, one action, and then another action to attack. He's going to try to get to the other side of Grimshaw. And so he's going to try to make an acrobatics check to like slide past you, because you were taking up the whole pathway there.
All right, now is that against my fortitude DC? I believe.
I think so, but Kelly might correct me. 29 total.
Oh man, you just barely got it.
All right, so he takes a little sidestep and squeezes past you.
Mm.
You know the southern thing when, like, you know, you're out somewhere and you're like, oh, just let me slide right past you? That's what he did.
Yeah, you scooch.
Let me scooch right by. Alright, in which case, now it comes to Helgi's turn. Helgi delayed her turn until after, let me move her in initiative. Can I just? Oh, I can click and drag? Oh, great. That was fantastic.
Thanks, right. Foundry.
Thanks, Foundry.
He's awesome.
In which case, she is going to take a 5-foot step, and then she is now flanking Grimshaw with the snake.
Oh god, Grimshaw.
Well, joke's on you, because I was already flat-footed to you.
This is very true.
Which also you think you can see for me, so basically negating that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, true.
That's true. 21 to hit.
That means no.
That's a mad no. I assume so, yeah. I assume the way you laughed in her face that it was a mess. And then second attack with sweep now. With sweep.
Mm-hmm.
26.
One eye is dead. Throw down your weapons, and maybe you can escape with your life. You know, but I doubt it.
It'd be really beneficial if you actually hit one of these times. Just saying.
Try harder.
I'm not hitting you.
No, I'm saying that to Helgi.
Yeah.
Helgi very, very, very quickly takes her name tag off and then writes captain over top of her name.
She's an opportunist. Okay.
There you go.
The power vacuum is very quick. Ken Kester, it's your turn.
Like seconds.
Literal seconds for a new captain.
All right, Kezra.
Yeah, Kezra. Kezra just like stares up at the sky for a second and just like lets the rain pour on him, and then he kind of like lumbers over to the edge of the stairs down right there, and yep. They both roll reflex saves as he just starts rain and lightning on him.
Oh god. Alright, alright, so I'm gonna roll for the sneak first, because he's very close to dead and also like closer to you, so and he's frightened, so we'll see how this goes. 23.
Fail.
And then for Helgi, she gets a 17.
Critical fail. And I rolled
really well. Wow, really?
And I rolled really well.
Oh boy.
Is he just gonna clean up the like everybody?
Yep, yeah. Right. So the sneak takes 20 and Helgi takes 40.
Oh my gosh.
Please describe both of your kills.
Okay. Oh shit.
So the sneak tumbles through Grimshaw, getting around his build a wall defenses, start taking more swings at him, and then Kezra's shadow just appears from above, and just lightning just strikes the sneak in front of Grimshaw, and then it just like bolts around him and goes like straight into Helgi's eyes. Yeah, I rolled 4 fours, a 3, and a 1 for that electric rock.
Whoa! Jeez. Oh my gosh!
That sounds like almost illegal.
Yeah, that was pretty sick. 60 damage okay, from electric arc.
Because we wasn't around when they signed the ban against weapons of mass destruction.
It's a cantrip. It just fucking did, you know, 60 points total damage.
Yep.
Yeah, that's just like crazy.
Yeah, that's really wild.
Yeah, and Kezra just like just sits down with his legs hanging over the edge of the stairs and be like, he's just like, I got him.
And Benson will immediately, first thing he does is he runs up to Kezra, gives him a pat on the back, and like, that was very impressive. And then he runs down to the door for the people.
All right, so the Nine Shields Smokehouse door, it's all boarded up. But you can hear what sounds like murmuring from people inside.
Grimshaw, give me a hand.
I think I need a hand first as well.
And he kind of motions to the shackles on his own wrists.
Elkwood, yeah.
Oh, I can assist. I'm a strong boy.
The door's literally dead right at your feet. There's probably keys.
Oh yeah, I actually checked for keys. That's a good point.
Yes, when I had keys on him.
Okay. Gets the keys.
All right, let's bust this door open.
But Benson will very loudly say, "We are a group that came to this town after the raid started. We are here to save you. Please back away from the door."
It's very quiet for a moment, and they're just like, "What? We're manacled to the wall."
That I see how that would complicate things. Give us a minute.
Okay, so you guys want to? All right, so you want to try to break it open? Like I said, it's boards. Just give me some athletics checks to pull the boards off.
Sure. 25.
Not the best roll for Benson, but my athletics is quite good. Where? I can never find... There it is.
It's in proficiencies. It's a,
23.
All right, you both within, like, 10 seconds just pull boards off, tearing them off one by one. And you manage to rip off the boards and break down the door, and you see... let me pull
another
you over.
Slaver demon.
I'm Bull Butcher too.
Electric Boogaloo.
Let me pull you guys over to the other map here. One second.
Oh wow.
It's funny. There's a whole other map, but you don't fight in here, so I don't know why they actually did that.
You don't know that.
Attention to details.
There you go. Let me go ahead and turn on. Oh, it's really funny. They did not put a door there. I just had to delete a wall. All right, so you guys can see inside of the smokehouse interior. The air in the smokehouse is dry and filled with the odor of fish. Racks of preserved meat, mostly fish, but some pork as well, cover the walls and surround a large fire pit in the room center. You can see that there is a group of 16 prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are manacled in some fashion to the poles or banisters or each other, for that matter. And so all of them just look at you.
Dead meat from is now holding living meat.
Yeah. But they all stare at you, and they're kind of scared at first as you, like, ripped off the vores and kicked it in, and all of a sudden they see both of you in your shining glory, and they're just like, we're being rescued! Praise the gods!
The slavers are dead. You're safe now.
What, a woman by, an older woman, who appears to be clerical in some way, she's played by, who did I say? Julie Andrews.
Oh, snap.
Damn.
So she stands up in place. She's the only one not manacled, actually.
Interesting.
She stands up, and as she stands up, you can see that she has a pendant, a butterfly pendant around her neck.
A
dreamer.
Yes, actually. You believe that, too. You believe her to be a cleric of Desna. She stands up, and she just goes, I can help them here. I just need to get some supplies. You need to get to the ship right away. I know they have at least 20 or 30 people there.
Everyone in this ship is dead. We took care of them.
No, not the slaves.
Oh, not the slaves. Yeah, I mean, like, the bad guys. We cleared out the ship. They're...
Oh, God. She stared at you in horror for a second.
They're all dead. No.
Not a one survived, and neither will you.
What are you, level 3?
All right, so she looks at you as you say that you've rescued them and that you've killed all the slavers there, and she just drops to her knees and she just says, "Praise the dreamer, praise all the gods. You rescued us this day, and for that you have my gratitude. For now, work needs to be done." We must tend to the sick and injured. We must tend to the dead. There's no time to waste. And she asks for tools, and she begins helping you undo.
Yep.
Undo manacles.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys can take your time while you guys are doing this. What is everyone doing? Because this will take obviously a few minutes to do.
Benson is just moving from person to person. His faceplate is up, you know, just this has been a horrible situation for everybody. So he is just trying to present a kind, protective face and, you know, moving around as many people as possible, helping them get out, making sure they're okay, tending to as many as he can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Grimshaw takes a similar stance, but he's also... you know, he's freeing people, but he does kind of try to work closer to the cleric, to kind of speak to her as they're going about their work. And he's like, what time did they roll up?
It seemed to happen in what felt like a matter of minutes, but I know it's been hours. But this is very, very unlike we even had anything like this. This is just a small town. Cypress Point is barely, you know, 50 people. And most of them are transient. Most of them are passing through or fishermen, you know, coming to sell their wares here in the smokehouse.
Was there anything strange that happened before these people showed up? Did you notice anything out of the ordinary?
No. They came through. I've never even heard of the Genie Smile. We have had ships here before, and they mostly stop to get repairs or take... provisions. She points to all the meat hanging around.
Well,
it seems that your only weakness was your proximity to Contargo this day. There's a I've had reports that there's some dark dealings happening out of there that are related to this group. Tell me, have you heard of the Scarlet Triad?
I've only heard of them in whispers, but seeing now what they do here, I'm dreadfully afraid what's been happening in Kintargo. Every time I've gone there, they've welcomed me and perhaps put on a show to hide whatever might be going on, but I know that Kintargo is dealing with a lot.
Yeah, my order, the Crimson Briar, is actually based out of Kintargo. I have a feeling that maybe all might not be as it seems over there. It's strange. I went off to a far-off land in search of the Scarlet Triad, only to find my way back here. Is there any town council or anything that we can speak to about, I don't know, shoring up some defenses? Like, we don't want to leave you all completely helpless. I know there's work to be done here and now, but what could be done in the coming weeks?
As you sort of mentioned something about town council, she just points to herself. He goes,
and by the way, that reminds me, I don't think we've gotten your name.
Oh, Zerlila.
Zerlila.
Spelled X-E-X-E-R-E-L-I-L-A-H. So she sticks her hand out and very quickly shakes her hand and then going back to yeah, help people. Yeah. She's been talking the whole time or she's been working the whole time you guys have been talking.
Yeah, same.
Multitask. It's good.
Yeah. She's a no-nonsense lady, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Benson is going to list off the number of people that they found on the ship, and how many... Are you missing anybody? Is everybody accounted for at this point?
It will take some time to take a head count, but let's make sure everyone is safe and get the corpses as far away as possible. We need to burn them before creatures show up.
I'm going to go back to the ship and rally all the people there and bring them to this town center. Do you think that's a good idea?
Yes, we'll all need to sleep here. And she looks around at the town, and just some of it is just ruined. Some of it was torched, some of it was like wrecked and destroyed. And she's like, seems the Nine Shield Smokehouse will endure even more in the coming years.
Well, fear not, because for at least tonight, maybe more for the coming, you will have possibly the most qualified night guards you will ever have.
It is good to have upstanding and stalwart citizens to help us.
Oh, and be sure to spread the word. Stay away from the boathouse. There are some creatures there who are indiscriminately killing all who entered.
Oh, I heard that they were going to set that on fire, so I sent a bunch of children to go check on it.
They sent the local orphans to go
I sent all the children.
That Billy, he loves burning things, so just sent him.
Well, the creatures will be well-fed.
Right, well, we want to make sure that we pay tribute to the local predators. So maybe the children will do.
Lottery.
see, the funny thing is at that point, like, as you all are helping in there, and then Elk's kind of like on the outside because, you know, it's just crowded. Like, I would say in that small spot. So he's going to each body. He's basically just stripping what he can from each body, like leaving that. But he is dragging the bodies out to the boathouse. Like the corpses. So like the entire time he's just methodically like slice, leaves the armor, anything valuable like that can be reduced, and just starts dragging them back, leaves, comes back, and just continues that, and just kind of silently does that while Vamir kind of probably just eats one of them.
I was about to say, every corpse you gotta fight Vamir off. Like, stop it.
Get the
But he is just silently doing this, just going back and forth.
Kezra he enters the smokehouse while you guys are, like, chatting, but he doesn't, like, stop to pay attention. He just, like, grabs some meat, and then he walks back out and starts, like, chomping on it, and he walks back out into the rain, up to One Eye's corpse, and he, like, looks him up for things that he wants. And before taking any of his loot, he reaches down and he grabs his eye patch and takes it as a trophy.
Cool.
You're a pirate now.
But yeah, Benson at that point will walk out. Because he looks at Benson looks at Grimshaw and goes, help the lady. And he goes out and sees Elk doing what he's doing, and Benson immediately realizes what's happening. So then he just looks at Kezra and goes, I've got to go rally all the people from the boats to bring them back. Would you like to come with me?
Yeah, Kezra will come with you. That's fine.
It will be easier if we have two people who actually know what's going on, so we can direct them easier.
Yeah.
And Benson will just kind of awkwardly look over at you as they're walking. Say, how are you holding up?
Battered and bruised. Could use some rest. But I needed these. Needed these monsters purged. We need to find out where they came from. We need to find out whose boat that is.
Well, I think you killed whose boat it was.
No,
we found what was it? Was it the robe that belonged to somebody else? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we
somebody else.
That it we deduced that like the ship belonged to some aristocrat, right?
Yeah, Targo.
Yeah, so you found the cape, and the cape had a name written on the inseam that was
noble family from Contargo.
It was a noble family, and I'm stalling so I can get to the name because the name was very important. Stalling so much. Sedrani Varshnastil.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think we determined that there was no, like, I think I rolled an underworld check on that and nothing came up.
Like. Yeah. You look at the name and you're just like, nah, they're like a noble family, but there's nothing. Yeah. Yeah.
They're just rich assholes.
Still doesn't add up.
But
we need to find this person.
For the immediate time being, I think it would be best for all of us to just take a step back and rest. We've done good work here today, stomping out these vile, vile people. But I've noticed a change in you. And I think... I don't know. I've never been the judge of character that most people think I am. I just want you to know we've done good work here today, and you will always have me at your back. I hope you know that.
I do know that. I'm sorry I blew you off in the gate room. I just don't know if I'm ready to talk about it yet, but...
Don't feel like I'm trying to get you to say anything now.
The only thing I can think about is vengeance. I don't know where my journey will lead me, but the Scarlet Triad, they are my goal right now.
You want to know something about myself?
Sure.
Every blow, every strike that landed, was nothing but fuel to a furious fire. I had to stand in front of his father and accept the fact that I failed. And maybe it's the weakness of my mortal soul, but every time I hurt them, it just makes me happy.
Well, let's use that. Dude, you killed that dragon in 2 hits. That was incredible.
That was so fucking fun.
We haven't had time to talk about that. But that was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
And then the way you dove onto the roof and killed that dude was so dope.
Dude, you fucking like teleported up there, man.
I think there's a career in killing the Scarlet Triad ahead of us.
But yeah, Benson is just checking in with your boy Kezra. On the way to the ship, and I imagine we get to the ship and we have to funnel all of these people out.
Yeah. So the people you escort them back to town, and you know, with the Scarlet Triad gone, and the Marks kind of they ran. Who knows where they went? Doesn't matter. But and then there's one Bloodborne just somewhere.
Oh yeah.
There's the one Bloodborne just somewhere. So let's go over equipment and the things that you guys are gonna get now.
Yeah, because we need to check out that one guy's house.
He let us know
about his weapons cache and his armor and stuff like that.
Yeah, because I remember that we had talked about you guys when you went into town to get it, but I don't think that you guys actually said that you did. So like,
We never did that.
All right. In which case, you get the. You remember what it was? It was the adamantine axe and the. I think it was +1 resilient breastplate or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't really. The breastplate wasn't useful for me, but Benson wanted to hold onto the axe.
Yeah, I mean,
the axe wasn't a +1, was it? Or was it just...
It doesn't say so, but then again, look at that for now, because of the fact that adamantine might be +1, like, anyway. Baseline. But it didn't say so in the book, but there might be a baseline. Anyway, so you guys can get that. Off of... Oh my god, there's so many enemies here.
There's so many dead bodies.
So... One, I actually only had a +1 striking great club and a +1 short bow. He had a chain shirt, the manacles and stuff like that, but the manacles have the symbol of Scarlet Triad, so maybe I don't want that.
Well, it sounds like we got a striking rune. That's worth it.
That's true. Yeah. And arrows. Elk, you could easily fell up on your arrows. So you can take his arrows. Except on the fleshing, now. The Scarlet Triad symbol's there, and you're like, ah, damn it.
Just paint over it.
Just dip it in paint.
That one time I bought arrows, just random arrows for my bow, and I got home, and I actually looked at them, and on the fletchings was a bunch of don't tread on me snakes.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I don't care if these get lost.
Right. Oh, God. Okay, so that was that. The Scarlet Triad, Sneaks, and Thugs. They had the usual rapiers, and the Thugs had the flail. The +1 flail and all that. I don't think that they had anything else of note. Javelins, chainmail, nothing magical, though. We can handle that. We can handle the rest of that off-air, though. So the day comes to a close, and I imagine you guys sort of help everyone out, dragging bodies and, making sure that everyone is, like, good and, bandaging wounds and stuff like that. A lot of the prisoners they were beaten up. They have, like, black eyes, and, some of them might have, like, broken fingers that the Scarlet Triad was, like, doing to, like, keep people in line. So they're clearly like traumatized right now. Mm-hmm. They were just a peaceful little fishing village, and these assholes showed up. So,
yeah, basically like every 10 minutes, Grimshaw is able to do a lay on hands. So
yeah, it's kind of like the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So after a few hours of everyone like cleaning up and stuff like that, they do take to the meat, and so they start preparing like stews and stuff like that, and just start like handing food out. As the four or five of you are sitting together, Vimir's pecking away at what might be the arm of some guy. I don't know.
Well, I think it'll be sensible enough. There's that blood boar there.
Oh yeah, of course.
He's just chomping on a big piece of liver, maybe. I don't know.
So while the town is recovering, and all of you are sitting around inside the smokehouse, and you're eating just delicious salted porks and fish and all this kind of stuff.
Benson, use some of that fresh, hot chili oil. Make it look.
Yeah, exactly. Zerlila stands up, and she has a decanter. She's got her hair up as she was working really hard, and she's like, she looks exhausted, but she's like empowered by like the freedom that she has now, because being a priest of Desna, freedom and luck really fuels her faith.
Mm-hmm.
So she stands up, and she goes, "Today is a day to show that nothing can hold us back. Freedom will return to us. And she points to all of you and she goes, even if we're simply lucky, and noble men and women come to our aid, we will return to safety and freedom once again. Please give a round of applause and show your appreciation to the heroes of Cypress Point. And the group of 40 or 50 people just start clapping. And so people come up and they start showing their appreciation now that things have, like, calmed down. And they come up and they're, you know, come up and start asking you, you know, like, how'd you get here? You know, like, what are your names? What do you do? And they start, like, talking you up. Some of them are asking for, like, tales of adventure that you guys have. So you guys can take some time to sort of talk to people if you would like.
Influence another town. We are the heroes of this town now.
That's one of the things that I love about, like, Pathfinder scenarios is, like, every chapter is like, I'm a hero of a new town. Yeah. Every single one.
Yeah, this is something that's, like, Grimshaw is not used to. He's used to more subterfuge and working behind the scenes. So to kind of have, like, some sort of, like, public praise and stuff like that, he's pretty awkward.
Yeah, I would say Elk's kind of the same way, like, at this point, just because of, like, after everything from Breach Hill and stuff. But one thing that was noticed, did she notice what he's wielding?
Oh, right.
Since she is a cleric of Desna?
Yeah. I mean, she didn't have much time to talk, just because, like she's a woman of action, so she just got right to it. So now that things have, like...
He was outside.
Yeah, so when things have calmed down and she does notice that, she just goes, I see it's done in the style of the Dreamer. That's nice. Where'd you get that?
Oh. And he kind of takes it out, and you see she kind of shows the shimmering of it, and all the stars kind of transit. Goes, I got this from the UKJ Elves.
And she sort of cocks her head at that. She goes, the Ikuje.
Yes.
I'm going to roll a check here. Yeah, she kind of goes, oh, those are the jungle elves.
Yes, from the Bawange.
Wow, you've traveled quite the ways.
Yes, in a way we have.
But... And as she's sort of talking, she sort of trails off as her eyes sort of catch the fact that there's, like, stars inside of this. As she just looks at it, she just goes, This isn't a replica. This is the real thing, isn't it?
Who am I to say? And just kind of, like, he's just spinning it slightly. It kind of creates, like, a glow, unearthly glow, kind of, like, coming out of it and stuff.
Yeah, she just kind of, like, she holds it very gently. She takes it from you, and she just kind of, like...
It's
fine. She takes it, and she's looking at it, and she just goes, you're gifted by the Dreamer. What... You have done great things. This is simply magnificent. I can't be luckier than this moment to be holding something so powerful. She's clearly just in awe right now.
Well, I'm glad that it was able to give you some of the prize, but I mean, as far as I know, I'm not that much of a learned man of religion, of anything else, but it is quite a fascinating weapon. It has brought us here.
She sort of looks at you, like, quizzically, because, like, something so literally from the Dreamer herself, as she just goes, there seems to be a struggle within you to not weep while holding this. If you do not worship, I encourage you to dream a little more.
Well, that's what I try to do, at least. But sometimes they turn to nightmares. This brings me some sort of peace.
Good. And she sort of nods at you. You guys sort of have this connection, and you sort of trail off, and she begins talking about, you know, her faith and trying to preach to you, but also just, like, in reverence, almost.
Yeah.
Grimshaw, as you and Benson are sitting next to your weapons and your shields and stuff like that, you guys were the men of action. You were the front line of this. Mm. And so people are coming up to you asking stuff. Benson is clearly taking the stories. Mm-hmm. But one guy comes up to you. I will show you a photo. Because this is an NPC with a picture.
Mm.
So this guy.
Hmm. Striking this guy, features.
He has very, very striking features. Dope lip, so he... Yeah. So he's got he's got like sort of short shaggy hair, these eyebrows completely on fleek, but he's got these striking green eyes and this striking green lip ring like right in the center. But he has these slightly pointed ears,
mm-hmm.
And his skin is sort of it's tan, but also somehow like grayish almost. It looks like he's like some kind of half elf. You're not too sure. But go ahead and make me a perception check as he approaches you. As he approaches you guys.
All right. Ooh, baby. That is not good. That is only a 21. It's only 21 from my green leaf geek perhedral d20.
Well, luckily, that is enough for you in particular to know that this is actually what appears to be a half human, half fetchling.
Oh, no way.
Hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Okay.
He approaches you all, and he's standing very modestly. He has almost like clerical robes on.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has some like spiked like armbands that are sort of like holding his sleeves on.
Mm.
And he approaches very, very modestly, very nobly. And he just sort of does like a nice respectful bow to you all, and he just goes, "I'm Helica Shadeborn. It is good to meet you all. I can't thank you enough for what you've done here today." He's played by Jeremy Renner, by the way.
Oh, sick.
Okay.
That's good. Like Jeremy, that's good.
Man, why don't you give him a bow?
A young Jeremy Renner.
Young Jeremy Renner, yeah. And so he sort of looks at you all and he just says, "You are all of noble purpose. And he sort of strokes his chin and he's trying to like think of what to say. He just goes, "I am a diplomat from Nidal."
Oh.
Huh.
My gosh.
I was going my way to Kintago when I was captured by the Scarlet Triad. I was simply passing through when they busted in and took me out of my tavern room. Would you happen to be going to Kintago as well? I would appreciate the... I wouldn't ask for an escort, but it is what it is. There will be payments, of course, it would be convenient, if anything.
Yeah, Grimshaw pipes up, and he's like, you know, kind of giving like a knowing look and saying, "For one touched by the shadow, I will walk with you not 1 mile, but two."
Oh, and he glances back and forth. Maybe a perception check, just to like sense a motive on that.
Oh, baby! Once again, that green leaf geek dice. 90-19 for a 31.
Nice. 31. That is more than enough to know that he seems to try to hide that.
Mm.
He seems to try to hide that.
Mm.
Now, I want you to roll me a society check.
Okay, okay.
This is specific to Kintargo.
All right. Oh, baby, I can't even make this up. Did I mention that Greenleaf Geek, if you enter code Dragon Punch, Dragon Punch Squad? Pretty sure it's Dragon Punch Squad. You get 10% off at checkout, because that is a nat 20, baby, for my society roll.
What?
There we go. So you know that there's a lot of tension between Nidal and Kintargo. And so him being a diplomat, he very much wants to not startle anyone by being of Kyle descent. And so him being a diplomat, he very much wants to come off as, you know, very noble and, you know, very respectable and stuff like that. And so he was sent specifically because he just has a sort of demeanor.
Think, like, noticing his unease, he's like, ah, peace, brother. I won't mention it again. But my offer stands as it was before. You want to go 1 mile? I will go with you too.
Well, I appreciate it. Being a representative of the Umbral Courts can set people on edge, so it's good to have someone around as noble as you all. I'm just worried with what's been happening in Ravenong Kintargo that me showing up alone might rub people the wrong way. If you're willing to go with me, I would appreciate you walking with me through the gates to show that I did not come with hired guards. I came with a noble escort. It would look good optically, you know.
It is quite fortunate because I actually am from Kintargo. Have you ever heard of the Order of the Crimson Briar?
I can't say I have. I have only been once before, and I was an apprentice diplomat at the time, so we were mostly stuck to our tavern rooms and the meetings and the hearings. Boring, really, but necessary.
I see.
However, if you're willing to escort me to Kintargo... It would mean the absolute world to me. If you require any healing, I am blessed in that way.
If you don't mind me asking, what is your business in Qatar? You said you're some sort of diplomat.
Yes, I'm a diplomat for the Umbral Court in Nidal. I'm there to smooth things over. Sending a newly previously, someone who graduated from an apprentice would sort of put them at ease. They're not sending their highest diplomat to argue things. They're sending me in order to smooth things over.
Would I know anything about, like, what he's referring to about, quote-unquote, smoothing things over?
Yeah, so you know that the Umbral Court is not favored by many people, especially with some of the things that had happened in Kintargo. Kintargo is coming out from a lot of things from, you know, its past with Cheliax and stuff like that. Nidal, being the people that famously worship Zangkuthan, doesn't really come off well when you're trying to, like, remove yourself from powers of evil that enjoy...
Hellraiser, like, torture.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, so yeah. That's really his thing, is that he's there to just be like, hey, we're cool, right?
You know? We're cool guys. You don't have to pour barbed wire or, like, wrap around you.
Yeah, I think, I guess what I'm getting more at is, like, Kintargo seems like they're kind of dealing with their own stuff right now.
Yeah.
So are they actively looking to, like, make alliances with other nations? Like, is that, like, a sentiment that I would know about?
It is something that was talked about before. Kintargo, like I said, is coming off from a lot of things. You being there, you know that there's a lot of stuff happening in the underworld. There's a lot of stuff happening with, like, crime, and, you know, like I said, coming off from being a part of Cheliax and slavery being outlawed. There's a lot of stuff that they're trying to recover from.
Mm-hmm.
And so yes, they are making alliances. It's pretty much two countries that were not a fan of each other and are now trying to make amends, but it's like hugging with barbed wire. It's just,
I got you.
It's really, really difficult. It's really touchy.
Mm-hmm.
He offers this, he offers to heal you guys if you decide to walk him to escort him to Kintargo.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I will reckon that it is not a week. It is a 3-day walk. So,
okay.
So, 3-day walk, and you guys will be there. But he does offer to heal you, you know, if anything happens. He looks around and he goes, "You guys are oddly missing a cleric. That's so strange."
It's so weird.
Funny you should say that.
We've been fine so far.
Can Benson do something at this point?
Sure.
Benson will go to the center of the smokehouse, where all the people are, and he will simply say, "I do not have much time with you, but I would give you all a boon. Give me any man, any able-bodied person among you. Come to me for the night, and I will aid you in your defense. Come, who will be guards of Cypress Point?"
A few of the able-bodied fishermen and, you know, local out-of-town farmers sort of stand up. They go, "We're tired, but we can still do stuff."
"Well, being tired on duty is going to be a very normal feeling. Come with me. I will give you the basic ideals of weapons, armor, defense, and you will be the men that stand on the walls so those in this town can sleep safely."
Kezra chimes up from the back and he's just like, "Yeah, then you can defend yourselves next time."
There's the Kezra we know.
There he is.
There he is.
Delilah just stares daggers at you.
Bunch of fishermen got taken over by mercenaries. So there you go.
Kezra just like looks at the guy next to him, and he's just like, "I mean, we didn't have to walk through a portal today to this part of the world. Just saying."
she kind of cocks her head and she goes, "Walk through a portal?"
"Yeah, remember that whole touching moment you had at the Elkwood about, like, you know, the, you know, this this weapon bringing us to you? Yeah, he meant that literally."
He's just over there, just like, he's just whittling right now, just looking over. Oh, God.
She looks at Elkwood and she goes, "Can I see it?"
"No."
"You want to see the portal?"
"Yeah." I mean, I don't see a harm in it, to be honest. It's just the portal. Like, she can't activate
it. It's not like she has the key or anything.
No.
Hell, no. She could... I can lead her to the fucking tree. Okay.
Isn't it like a several hour journey, though?
It was like an hour away. Maybe it was like 10 minutes or something.
Oh, right.
It was a hike, but it wasn't crazy.
Yeah.
We do need to stop by that farmer and let him know that his massacre is complete.
Oh yeah.
But
what was his name again?
Levin, I think.
Yeah,
Levin's massacre.
Levin's massacre.
The Levin massacre. No, wait, it's not that. Wait, it can't be Levin.
All I know is I haven't been able to memorize this name.
I just keep thinking of Patton Oswalt the entire time.
Yeah, he was played by Patton Oswalt. Yeah.
I know, but that's the first name that comes to mind. I'm like,
it was Leppin. Leppin. Leppin.
Yeah, Leppin's Massacre.
Leppin, yeah.
Leppin's Massacre.
Little did you know, on each body that Elk dragged out, there's Leppin's name carved into
it. Okay. But Benson would like to instruct all these new guardsmen to grab whatever weapon they can from the fallen slavers and meet him in the yard.
So they grab the hatchets and knives and swords and whatever they have. And oh well, they take some of the weapons from the Scarlet Triad and stuff like that. So they go out to the yard, and you see some of them are like they're like two-handing a rapier.
Yeah. So Benson will take the rest of his night to give the best crash course he can on weaponry, defensive positioning, And if you are on this part of the wall and you see an enemy ship coming in that you do not understand, give out a yell, and it should be local knowledge that whenever a guardsman yells this, every free person should run to the smokehouse and barricade themselves in. You are the front line of your homeland. Defend it.
Yes, sir. Good.
And know that your vigilance, every day you wake up and you stand up on the wall and you are tired, know that your sacrifice means safety for the free people of this town.
They look at each other with like some security, and they have this sense of duty gives them some agency now. And they sort of look at each other and they're like, what should it be? And they go, what about? Oh, I know. All right. I say insane in the membrane, and you say insane in the brain. That works. That works. That works
for
really well.
At this point, I feel like that just kind of works. Insane in the membrane.
Insane. Goodness.
I had to bring it back.
Yeah, but Benson is doing, like, he's spending all of his time trying to. Obviously, he can't make them into, like, a well-working group of soldiers, but he's going to do what he can with the time he has.
Wait a second. This sounds familiar, like when he was in the EQJ village, and then all the kids were following Benson. He's recruiting.
Benson's going to have a militia of the simple farmer, fishermen, and children.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have an army.
And you get a simplify obede, and you get a simplify obede.
Yeah, it's recruitment tactics. I mean, that's fair.
So you guys feel good at the end of the night. You get some nice old wine in you and some tasty meats. And Zerlila comes to you in the morning, and she just goes, "Before you guys leave, what are the chances you can go check out that boathouse?" I'll see you guys next time.
Oh, man. God damn it.
Jake, we told you we're not doing it.
No boathouse,
son. It'd be a shame if all those children.
Hey, it's Timmy from the DPS. Are you a dice-obsessed goblin who also loves small biz? Looking to level up your dice game? Check out Greenleaf Geek. They offer an array of dice, including the artisanal handmade Hologalactic set. It's star-studded, literally. Use offer code DRAGONPUNCHSQUAD at checkout to save 10% off. And while you're there, you can opt to plant a tree, and every dollar given is matched by Greenleaf Geek. Save your party from certain doom, as well as our planet. That's DRAGONPUNCHSQUAD, all caps, at checkout for 10% off. And we'll see you in the next episode.